Morning, everybody. Isn't it lovely to be having church outside in this beautiful weather? It's very much. And it's not 40 degrees out, too, which is perfect. For my Fahrenheit friends, I believe that converts to 4,000 Fahrenheit, if my math is accurate. But we get to celebrate together outside by the beautiful St. Lawrence River together. It's so exciting. I love this Ribfest service every single year. We have a couple things that we would like to say before we begin, and the first is, welcome to the pier. Our church is called the Pier, and what a fitting place to be by the river, where everyone is welcome. We can sit together, be together, worship together, pray together, and be ourselves, created in the image of God together. That's who we are. We believe that God has us here to love each other, love our community, and love our world. That is church to us, and we're so excited that we get to be here together in Hardy Park, and then after, eat ribs or pulled pork together. But before we begin, we have to do a quick poll. If you are eating later, or if you have eaten, and you get to choose either ribs or pulled pork, what do you choose? So, rib vote. If you're having ribs, raise your hand. Okay? Now, pulled pork. That's a tough call. I think maybe 60% pulled pork. That's interesting. The advantage is we can have the combo and do both, and then everybody is happy and we get to eat a lot. I'll do the combo. Cornbread, beans, coleslaw, the whole kit and caboodle. A couple things to mention before we begin. Our sermon this morning is next week. The Pier Church will be back at the Brockville Art Center. We start at 9:45. You can come hang out at 9. We have the whole morning together. The following week, we will be at St. Lawrence Park together for Beach Fest. So we're going from Hardy Park to the Brockville Art Center to St. Lawrence Park. We get to go all over town and outside. So if you want information about the Pier, our church, just come talk to myself, or there's a couple tables set up with all sorts of information on them. Next week at the Brockville Art Center, and then the week following, Beach Fest, all together outside with lots to do. Fun for the whole family, so it's a really exciting way to end summer. This morning, we thought that being outside in God's creation, we would talk about God's kingdom. So that's where we are going to begin. I'm going to pray, and then we're going to get started. Jesus, thank you for this morning. Thank you for the sunshine. Thank you for friends and family and the opportunity that we have to have church outside together this morning. Pray that you would be with us as we read your word, that you would lead us, and that we would follow. Amen. Deep within us all, we're talking about God's kingdom. Deep within us all lies the dream of a better world. Our dream and longing for justice and fairness, harmony and peace, trust and honesty, comfort and warmth, beauty and freedom. It's the search for light where there is darkness. This is God's kingdom planted within us. Some call it Imago Dei, us created in the image of God. The heart of God birthed in us and shared with us. This is the beautiful kingdom of God. And that's what we're going to be talking about this morning, and I'm really excited. Whenever we talk about the kingdom of God, there's so many different things to understand. So our plan this morning is to try and all get on the same page together. So this morning it's an invitation into the kingdom of God to choose peace and hope and beauty in a world where unfortunately it seems like there's greed and misplaced power and injustice and oppression. To choose Jesus and his kingdom is to choose an alternate reality, a new life, and a new world order. Would anyone like to be in a new world order where there's no longer pain and oppression and injustice, and there is hope and peace? I long for that. I got a tomahawk chop over here. I long for that peace and that hope, and that's what the kingdom of God has for us. But so much of the kingdom of God depends on us seeing King Jesus as ruling on earth right now through this, through us, the church. We call this the kingdom of God. If our imaginations are not shaped by the kingdom of God, then they will be shaped by the kingdom of the world. And the reality is they are different. So today and this morning, I choose the kingdom of God, and I invite you to choose the kingdom of God as well. So let's set aside our small g gods and our pride and our own castles and choose something far more beautiful and beyond than we could imagine. And to do this, the first step is emptying. Emptying is the prelude to filling. So this morning, let us have some courage to empty some things that might be blocking us or getting in the way of God's beautiful kingdom. Let's have the courage to own our own stories, own our suffering, own our pain, own our addictions, own our selfishness, and own what is hurting us and others. Richard Rohr puts a summary of that this way. In the Gospels, you rarely see Jesus upset with sinners. Rather, what you see is Jesus upset with people who don't think they are sinners. So this morning, let's own our stuff as we talk about the kingdom of God. I have a story that helps illustrate this and how sometimes we can be blinded by our own present realities. I have a daughter who's just over a year old, and she's ticklish in her chubby little thighs. And so I'll tackle her, and I'll bite her on the thighs. But it's not very hard. I don't use my teeth. Don't worry. And she giggles and laughs and then runs away, and then I tackle her, and I do it again. It's this little game that we play. The other day, though, she had this ingenious idea of a defense, and she threw her knee up, and it hit me in the lip, and I thought that hurt, but I continued to fake bite her in the thighs. And then when she was done laughing and I pulled my head up, I realized that her pajamas that she was in were just covered in my blood, just all over, covered in my blood. And two things to note there. I learned a lesson there. I mentioned pajamas, don't rile up a baby right before it's bedtime. It's a bad idea. And the second is, if we are unaware of the things that we are bleeding, that are seeping out of us, we will give them to others. If we don't transform our suffering, our pain, our baggage, the stuff that we are going through, if we don't transform it, own it, surrender it to God, work through it, we will transmit it. If we don't transform our suffering, we will transmit it. And this morning, before we go anywhere else, let's take a deep breath and all come together, realizing that we are part of this life, part of this kingdom of God, and we all have things to work through. This is a beautiful authenticity, an equalizing of all humans. There is no hierarchy. We are in this together. So let's own our stuff before we launch into solving everyone else's problems. We are in this together. I'm going to breathe in that, and knowing that you guys have my back and I have your back. This is beautiful. If we don't transform our suffering, we'll transmit it. We begin there. Let's know our pain, know our suffering, so it doesn't bleed on everybody else. This morning, let us all choose courage and name our stuff. I'm reiterating myself here. Name our pain, our suffering, our sin. Let us seek forgiveness. Let us forgive others, love others, and choose the hope and beauty of Jesus and his kingdom. I believe that this world is selling us a false reality. And five lies of identity that we're going to talk about in a minute. And I call this the screeching treble. We talked a bit about this at Christmas time if you were with us at the pier during Advent. It is power. It is greed. It is consumerism. It is self-God. And it results in oppression, injustice, war, and classification of people. The five lies of identity are, I am what I have. I am what I have. I have a nice house. I have a car. I have my stuff. My identity is wrapped up in my possessions. That is the first lie. I am what I have. The second is, I am what I do. My identity, my validation comes through my career, my vocation, and how I'm validated. I am what I do. The third is, I am what other people say or think of me. Our identity then is based on others' quick opinions of us. This is not true. The fourth lie of identity is, I am nothing more than my worst moment. We've all had our failures and our low points, but we're more than our rock bottom, are we not? That is not our identity. And the last lie of identity is, I am nothing less than my best moment. We've had the rock bottoms and we've had the incredible highs. We're more than our lowest moment, and we're absolutely less than our best moment. This is owning our identity created in the image of God, not being dictated by this system that the world is telling us. The world is speeding up with everything at our fingertips, and it's yelling and screaming more, 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 now, 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 me, me, me. But it's all treble. It is surface. It squeaks and shrieks. Consumerism, selfishness, greed, pollution, and war. This system is a suicide machine, killing us, killing people, killing the planet, killing joy, killing hope. And I think if we're honest, we all know it. This is the heavy beginning, talking about a reality before we get to what God has in store for us. This system, and I think we would all agree, is not going to fulfill us. It is not going to bring purpose and peace. We live in a crazy world, and it is not solving all the problems. There has to be more. And I truly believe that the answer is the kingdom of God. We are here this morning in Hardy Park, and we are going to read the Bible and talk about hope. People would say, why are you reading a book that is 2,000 plus years old and talking about hope in a reality in a world where the answers are right in front of us? And I believe the reason is because the Bible is far more beautiful and relevant than we realize. It is a book that has been challenging the same systems of oppression and injustice since the very beginning, the same systems that we experience now. We're going to engage with something that has been resonating with people for thousands of years, and it is, in my opinion, filled with profound, resonating bass. What resonates is the bass note of Almighty God, and it is the exact opposite of the screeching treble of the world. This hope is summarized, I believe, in Jesus. Brian Zahn puts it this way in a great summary. At the cross, we discover that God revealed in Christ would rather die in the name of love than kill in the name of freedom. This bass note is still playing, waiting for us to shake off the rust, awaken the atrophied muscles, and lead us into the kingdom of God. We are in Matthew chapter 13 this morning. If you have your phone or an app or a Bible you can turn to. Matthew chapter 13. And in it, there's a bunch of parables, stories that Jesus tells for people to learn about his kingdom. They're called the kingdom parables, and there's a bunch in a row. We read one a few weeks ago. Timothy did a sermon on it. It was called The Parables of the Sower. We learned all about the soil and the seeds and different facets and realities of humanity. This morning we are in Matthew 13, 31 to 35, so you can follow along. Then Jesus told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which a man took and planted in his field. Though it is the smallest of seeds, yet when it grows, it is the largest of garden plants and becomes a tree, so that birds come and perch on its branches. He told them another parable still. The kingdom of heaven is like yeast that a woman took and mixed into about 60 pounds of flour until it worked all throughout the dough. Jesus spoke all of these things to the crowd in parables. He did not say anything to them without using a parable. So was fulfilled what was spoken through the prophet. I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter things hidden since the creation of the world. I love this parable because I struggle to understand it. What does this mean? What does a mustard seed and what does yeast in dough have anything to do with Brockville in 2018? Jesus doesn't explain the parable. He just lets it rest and linger, and everyone's scratching their heads. And I think we're scratching our heads this morning, so let's go through this together. I think one of the first and clearest indicators of what these parables, what this story means, is it's a call for patience. First, Jesus compares the kingdom to the smallest of seeds, the mustard seed. We are asked to plant it, to water it, to nurture it, to go to work in the fields, and then watch it grow, creating shade and a place for the birds to sit and eat. The same goes with the yeast or the leaven in the bread, waiting for the yeast to activate and rise in the dough. Active movement and active patience. There's a beautiful tension we are seeing here. Movement to plant the mustard seed, to nurture it, to care for it, and then active patience to wait for it to grow. And then the same as with the yeast in the dough, working it in the dough, being active in our movement and faith, and then patient in waiting for it to do its job. God asks for our faith and our patience. So the question this morning for us is, how do you need to be patient? In a world where now is one of the highest small g gods, how can you fight against that with patience? What is God asking you to wait for? So often in our lives, we want answers and results now. I know I am very much like this. When I'm trying to do something, I want it now. Results now. That's how my mind unfortunately works. But so often in the Bible and in this life, if we can wait, if we can take a deep breath and have patience, our stress and anxiety will plummet. God asks for our patience. Another way of framing the parables in Matthew 13 is the word waiting. And waiting is just as difficult. The theologian Stanley Hauerwas puts it this way: there is a kind of madness corresponding with being a disciple of Jesus. To see the world, to understand that the kingdom of heaven is like a tiny mustard seed, requires a people who refuse to be hurried. A people who refuse to be hurried. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed or yeast, because to be drawn into the kingdom of heaven is to participate in God's patience towards his creation. Imagine a world where patience reigned over worry and hurry. It is completely different. Hauerwas wraps up by saying, Jesus is teaching in Matthew 13, teaching us to see the significant in the insignificant. That is a beautiful phrase for the gospel. Seeing the significant in the insignificant. So this morning, the question again for us is, what needs a second look in your life? What insignificance is actually the profound significant right in front of your face? God has so much for us in our present if we open our eyes and wait and be patient and choose to see his kingdom. We want results and we want it now. We want significance according to the world's standards. This is not faith, and this is not the kingdom of heaven. Jesus asks us to live in this tension of kingdom, believing that the kingdom was indeed arriving in and through his life and death, and the kingdom is yet to fully come. It's not here yet fully. This tension requires our faith. God's kingdom is here, and we have a role to play in its continuation. There's another layer to this passage that I think that we should talk about this morning, and I was a little more nervous talking about it because it wasn't just about faith and patience. It was about a reality that was hidden in the words that Jesus chose. It's about the status quo. Jesus doesn't use mustard seed as a symbol for God's kingdom just because it is small. That's a part of it. It was illegal in Roman law. The mustard seed was illegal because of its tendency to take over. By using an illegal substance to symbolize his kingdom, Jesus is making the strong point that his kingdom is not the status quo. It will not be embraced by political and economic powers that be. Indeed, it will threaten them. By providing shade for the birds of the air, which farmers would normally drive away because they would eat the crops, God's kingdom is also to be a shelter for those we would also normally drive away. This is beautiful. To describe God's kingdom, Jesus used a banned substance and advocates for those normally unwanted. This can't be missed. That's why it shocks. If the parable of the mustard seed is just about a story of only needing a little bit of faith to turn our small efforts into something big, then we've missed a big part of the point. The kingdom that Jesus brought unravels the status quo of oppression and injustice. The second item that Jesus used is equally loaded, yeast. It is not to be taken lightly. Again, this metaphor asks for faith and patience for the yeast to rise, to wait. But that is not the only reason he uses this. For Jews, yeast in bread was not kosher. In fact, it broke sacred law. For the reason for this ban on leaven or yeast is to remember that at the time of the Exodus, when the Israelites fled the nation of Egypt as slaves, they were in a great hurry, and the dough they took with them as provisions didn't have time to rise. It baked as they carried it on their back and turned to what we call matzah. This is in Exodus 12. Jesus fights the kingdom of hurry and worry. It is a new kingdom, and the law was replaced with love. In essence, in these five verses, these are only five verses, Jesus uses and asks his disciples to break Roman law and to break their own sacred and holy Jewish law. Five verses, Jesus compares his kingdom to two highly illegal and inappropriate things. So what status quo do you need to rise against? Do I need to rise against? What oppression and injustice are we a part of? Because it is time to change. The kingdom of God is here now and forever. I'm going to ask the worship team to come back up as we wrap up this morning. And in conclusion, let's just take a deep breath and realize that the pace that this world is setting is not healthy. I think we can all get there, that it is too much, too fast. There's something not correct about the rhythm of the world right now. The world screams more, 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 now, 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 me, me, me. And Jesus says, blessed are the meek. The world shouts money, power, division, hierarchy. And Jesus said, blessed are the poor. God whispers rest. My beloved, you were created in my image, and there is a seat for you at my table. Pull up a chair and eat. The world is screeching, screaming treble. Consumerism, oppression, war, and justice. While the reverberating, shaking, deafening bass note from the beginning of time from Almighty God is saying, act justly, love mercy, walk humbly with me. What a stark contrast. What a welcoming difference. So this morning, whether this is your first time hearing about the kingdom of God, or this is your 1,000,000th time hearing about the kingdom of God, let us truly commit to it, to active movement and active patience. You are invited into the kingdom of God here and now. If you struggle, it is okay. If faith is hard for you, it is okay. If you feel like you can't go on, it is okay. If life and faith feel like you're trying to read Braille with mittens on, it is okay. We don't need all of the answers right now. We are in this together as a family. We do not walk alone. Sometimes we have to choose faith, to choose to push through some of these issues and doubts and fears and anxieties. This is not easy, but don't do this alone, please. One of my favorite shows to watch sometimes is the painter Bob Ross. Series went up on Netflix, and if you don't know who he is, he's got a big afro and he paints these beautiful paintings, and you really become part of it. It seems like you're helping him make decisions. Like, we're going to put a pretty little bush over here, and you really feel like you're a part of that. But Bob Ross said something in one of these episodes that I can't stop thinking about. He says, "Don't be afraid to go out on a limb, because that's where the fruit is." Faith is us going out on a limb, shaking up a status quo that, if we are truly honest, we know is not right. God has something so much more beautiful and profound and hopeful and beyond what we can imagine if we're willing to take a step of faith, as Kierkegaard said, a leap of faith, not knowing where we're going to land. But that's where these beautiful things of God's kingdom can be revealed to us. But it takes our faith. I'm not saying this to minimize the present, the things that you are in now that are creating such pain and issues and suffering. But if we can choose together, again, not alone, to step through this, God has something beautiful for us. Don't be afraid to join the hope and beauty of a new world order that overthrows the status quo of oppression and injustice and provides shade and bread for all. It is time for a dose of urgency. Like, we're looking for people buried in an avalanche. We need an urgency of faith. This morning, let us choose kingdom, choose beauty, and choose hope. We do this by taking a step of faith towards God, towards His kingdom. I'm going to pray, and then we're going to have this time of worship. And as a church, we'd like to challenge you to maybe take a look at some of your priorities. Take a look at maybe some of the things that you're walking through, maybe alone, and how if we together can choose to see Christ's kingdom, a new world order, we can be a part of transforming this world. We really believe that the more faith and more love we bring to this world puts more paint on God's blank canvas, turning into His masterpiece kingdom. This is beautiful. Let's pray. Jesus, thank you for this morning. Thank you for the beautiful sunshine and the river and the ribs and family and friends. God, we love you. Give us faith. Give us this prioritizing, this urgency of your kingdom to help bring about change in your town of Brockville. Jesus, we love you, we worship you, and we thank you. Amen. We're going to have a time of worship now before we wrap up. Let's praise God together and celebrate this beautiful time that we get to be outside at Hardy Park. Amen. Hallelujah.